News Radio 690 KTSM El Paso.
News Radio 690 KTSM presents the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. And by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block off East Cotton, open 7 days a week. And now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We do have a radio show this morning. We are here live. Good morning. Welcome to the El Paso History Radio Show. We are live on March 28th, 2020, and it's in a time that has basically changed us all forever. I think we need to be able to hear about something else than the main issue of the day, so we are proceeding with the radio show that we had planned weeks ago for today, and we will say Texas history begins in El Paso, and good morning, Melissa. We need to find that lady on that radio thing over there.
There I am. Hey, here I am.
So
I
was, you get lost
in the closet again.
You get lost in the electronics once in a while.
You've got to get spaced out there. But good morning, everyone, and welcome.
We are here. We're going to talk about the history that we had planned. KTSM, AM 690 is where you always find us. And that's as usual on a Saturday morning, but they can find us on the internet, can they not?
Yes, they can. They can find us at ktsmradio.com, where they can click on the... Well, that puts you live into the shows, and then also you can go to iHeartMedia, and you can listen to us on the radio there anywhere in the world.
All right, so departure from normal today, as you can imagine. We're not going to have trivia questions today.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Your turn.
Oh, it was a little rough to do it right now because the businesses are closed, per se, though they do have drive-up service, or, you know, in some cases you can get it delivered through Grubhub and some of the others. But we won't be doing that until things calm down with the virus.
Well, also, those businesses need your help now, so don't be giving away coupons today. And we'll tell you later about the phone numbers where you can call and order food today for both Pepe's and Amigos. And the deal is on the Mission Del Rey, they're online. You can patronize our sponsors. And, of course, Patrick Tuttle, Legacy Real Estate, he's at Patrick Tuttle. PatrickTuttle.com. So, okay, you do have a history moment today, do you not?
Yes, I do, and it's about a Freemason that that was kind of an interesting one. It was Dallas Stoudemire. A lot of people don't realize Marshall Stoudemire, famous for the Four Dead and Five, was a Mason.
Well, we're going to find out some very interesting things today about Freemasons because as we said, no trivia, by the way, very interesting things about Freemasons because we've lined up some guests here because we're going to talk about Freemasonry from George Washington to Joseph McGoffin. And I think what we're going to do is basically start backwards and go to Joseph McGoffin by going to Michelle Wood. And Michelle, good morning. You have a new name now, do you not?
I do.
Oh, congratulations.
And it's Wranglewood.
Wranglewood.
And if you can pick up your phone, not on speaker, it'll help us a whole lot because we can hear you better.
Okay, hang on just a second.
You go ahead and do that. While you're doing that, I'm going to go ahead and conference in a guy named John Wood, who happens to be your father. Hey, John, good morning. Ooh. Oh, John, what happened to John? John went away. Call back, John. Oh, that was Michelle. Michelle did that. All right, we have to work this out here. John, is that you? John, are you there? We had them both.
Oh no!
Hey, call back both of you. You know
this,
the phone number.
This is a test in insanity today. I'll
Bernie,
try to get this all.
Bernie,
in.
See who's on line one, if you don't mind. And we have our call screener, Bernie Sargent, in here this morning, and he is our basically our backup call screener. The way
That's
things
right.
go, and also the main man is on the board today, Sergio Valenzuela.
Welcome back.
So indeed, we do have. And I need these calls in here, Bernie, as soon as you have them. I'll go ahead and put on. Is that Michelle on four? Hold on.
He's putting him on hold right now.
Very good.
Yeah, this is the fun part of doing radio this
Michelle,
way.
Michelle, you got us now?
I do.
There she is.
You know what?
Let me tell you.
Well, I messed you up when I said put it on, take out off a speaker because it's really kind of hard to hear. And on the other line here, we expect to have John. John, are you with us?
I'm here.
All right, we got both.
Dad.
We got both of you. Well, the reason I wanted these two on here, because basically We've had Michelle in the studio before talking about Freemasonry. And we're going to get the Freemasonry definition from John, perhaps. But also, what is about Freemasonry in the history of El Paso? And if you do not understand Freemasonry, or if you think you do, and you want to hear more details, this is the place to be this morning, because we're going to explain Freemasonry, as we say, from George Washington to Joseph McGoffin, but also going back into the ancient time. Bernie, that door's open, by the way. We're going back into ancient times to see what Freemasonry is about. Let us start now with John, if you don't mind. Could you give us a definition of Freemasonry?
Freemasonry, it's an association of men for the trying to improve themselves and the communities that surround them.
And so I heard it one way spoken, to take a good man and make a good man better. Is that fair?
That is a definition that's been used by many, many people over lots of years.
I overheard it because I am not a Freemason. Somebody wants to know. But yeah. I did study Freemasonry because I made about 50 different television programs for and about Freemasonry. And I did that while I was living in Washington, D.C. And so I have a bit of a background in it. It interests me greatly. Because I believe, in my own opinion, and you may concur, is that Freemasonry is one of the reasons we do have the American Republic that we do. It started basically with George Washington, in our case, and his generals. Can you talk about that for a moment, John?
Yes, Freemasonry actually came to the shores of the United States in the late 1500s, 1590s. Ship captains who were trying to establish trade with colonies, they would go in, and the ship captains usually were Masons. They'd go into the communities and find people that appeared to be in charge of the communities, and over a period of time, they set up Masonic lodges up and down the eastern seaboard. And George Washington, he became a Mason in Virginia, I guess, in the 1600s or 1700s. I believe it was 1600s and
1730 something. I believe he became a Mason about age 18. George Washington did.
Yeah, he was very young. So, but back then it was the center of activities in most communities around the country. So,
well, it's a fraternity, as I understand it.
It is a fraternity,
and it is a fraternity that requires you to have your own belief in deity. And they only require you to do that. They don't tell you which deity or how to do it, basically. Correct me if I'm wrong, because I say I'm not a Mason. You are.
You're correct. Fraternities or Freemasonry supports the ideal of enlightenment, the dignity of man, the liberty of the individual, rights of all people to worship as they choose, and the formations of democratic governments. And they also have a firm belief in the importance of education.
Can I reveal one of the major secrets of Masonry?
Yes.
Okay, and that is Masons will not tell you about Freemasonry until you ask. And I have asked, and that's why you're here, correct?
That's it. That is correct.
And that's just it. You see Masons go around wearing rings and lapel pins and stuff like that. And if you ask them what's that, then they have an opening to explain it to you. But I've heard about generations of men who do not pass it on to their sons or grandchildren because the kid never asked. And that's really a shame.
They wait for their kids to ask. A lot of them have petitions already filled out waiting for the son to ask or the nephew, whatever, just to ask.
Oh, it's amazing how that works. But the fact is, I want to explain why is this important. Because, okay, so it's a fraternity that lasted for that long, but then there are so many other differences. Because it's still here today in great numbers. And as I mentioned at the beginning, one of the major numbers of people who we know in El Paso, the history of the McGoffin home. And Michelle Ranglewood, you are the one who is now, I guess you're the education director. Is that your title?
Yeah, I'm the education and public programs coordinator.
Okay, so you're with McGoffin home, and you have an interesting history, but you basically know Freemasonry from your father, John, here. But also, you've looked into Joseph McGoffin's Freemasonry, have you not?
Oh, extensively, yes.
well, what did you find when you find him there? Because, number one, he was a Catholic, practicing Catholic. He was born in Chihuahua, one of the first early mayors of several who were born outside the United States. And
yes.
he came in and basically established so many things in El Paso. Talk about him for a moment.
Sure. So Joseph, of course, you know, I guess the biggest election elected position he had in the city was he was mayor four times, which was the longest serving mayor of El Paso, only to be matched in the 1980s, 100 years later, by Jonathan Rogers. But he also was a county judge, a customs tax collector, justice of the peace. Basically, he served in almost every civic position in this city that you could. But on top of that, he helped establish the utilities that we all enjoy today. And he also was a founding member of the Board of Health, the Board of Education here in El Paso. I mean, just so many different aspects. But he also is responsible, along with C.R. Moorhead, another Freemason, to bring the train here to El Paso in 1881.
Well, I think Joseph McGoughlin was basically ahead of his time. And the reason that he was here was because of the family business. Talk about that.
Sure. So James Wiley McGoughlin, his father, purchased four plots of land that equaled 1,280 acres called McGoughlinsville. And he purchased that in about 1849, if I remember correctly. And he settled it. And he built his home along with a mercantile. It was a major stop on the way to California between Eastward Point on the way for the gold rush. And so it was a major stopping point. And in fact, it shows up on Texas maps as early as 1854 as a stopping point in Texas.
So you would consider him clearly an early civic leader.
Oh, correct. Yeah, absolutely. I know if you read Timmons' books on El Paso, one of the points he makes is that, you know, James Wiley McGoughlin and two other members of the city, I want to say Stevenson and, I can't remember, Crosby, Stevenson and Crosby, they, all three of them, extensively talked about how important it was to get the train all the way back in the 1850s.
Well, the train was going to come through basically at one point, back in that time frame, but it did not. It went through Utah instead, the cross-country train connection. Okay, do you know the reason for that?
I don't.
It's the Abraham Lincoln did not want to put a train track through a future potential Confederate state.
Ah.
Even though El Paso was the all-clear weather path for trains, they put it up there where it got snowed on a bunch, and they just were not going to put it in a potentially, you know, Confederate state. So that was one part of that puzzle. And the early puzzle of El Paso is truly amazing. John, I'm going to come back to you for a second, if you don't mind, explaining, if you don't mind, the structure of Freemasonry. Because a lot of people don't realize that there's a Blue Lodge, and that's the first 3 degrees. And some people have told me that the third degree of Masonry is the highest degree you can attain, even though there's some higher numbers. Can you clear that up?
That is correct. You can become a Scottish Rite Mason, which there are an additional 29 degrees, I believe it is, 28 degrees, 29 degrees that you would get at the Scottish Rite. But the third degree is the highest that you can be. You can be no higher of a Mason than the third degree Mason out of the Blue Lodge. The Blue Lodge, which is the first 3 degrees, is governed by the Grand Lodge of Texas. And the other degrees, the fourth through the 32nd degree, is governed out of South Carolina, Charleston, South Carolina. And we have a headquarters in Waco, Texas, for a Grand Lodge, basically for the Scottish Rite also. And then you have York Rite, which we have three bodies under the York Rite. You have Chapter, Commandery, and Council. The Commandery being the Knights Templar. You've got the Cryptic Masons, and then you have the Royal Arch Masons. So
I suppose this is slightly confusing to the public, but the thing is, you've got the first 3 degrees of Freemasonry, the Blue Lodge. That makes you a Mason. Then you have to have that before you can try Scottish Rite or York Rite, correct?
That is correct.
And in the old days, you had to go through all of that to become a Shriner.
Yes.
And I think the Shrine has now taken away the requirement for York or Scottish, which kind of upset them a bit, right?
Yeah, there were some discussions years ago, and they finally, the only thing to resolve it was that they split and went their separate ways.
So it goes.
And Scotch Rite.
But you still had to have the first third degree to become a Shriner.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So people who don't know anything about Freemasonry, that is basically the structure of these organizations known as lodges. And it's an interesting thing. We're going to discuss later on in the program with a couple of historians from El Paso. We're going to take a look at Freemasonry in the ancient times, how it got to America, and then how it got to El Paso. But let's focus again a bit after the break, perhaps, on a couple of things about Freemasonry, including, if you don't mind, after the break, let's talk about some of the charities and some of the purposes of Freemasonry. And Michelle, stick around. Obviously, you got more to contribute, I'm sure, about Joseph McGoffin.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yes.
Y'all hold on there. We're going to take a break and come back. Sergio, are you ready for a break?
A break time.
Here's what I'd like to do. Melissa, if you don't mind, we're going to get some calls, and we're going to take calls off the air.
Right.
Bernie's going to write them down and hand them to you.
Oh, I'll get to me.
Why?
Yay.
Why not?
I'm closest to the door.
I'm
out the door.
And you're related to Bernie.
That has a lot to do with
and
it.
If,
yes.
And if anybody's curious to know how we're operating in here today, we're not touching anything.
I was like, no, I got a shield up, and you're in a bubble. I'm in
a bubble.
Well,
you're about 6 feet further away than you normally are from me.
I kind of like this.
Well, we could put you in the next room.
There we go.
Can you broadcast on the ladies' room? No, don't do that. But we're going to get this show on the air and do it just because, you know, the thing is, I think people have kind of had it with the one issue.
I have, and
that's why we said to iHeart, let us come do our show. We're not sick. We won't touch anything.
Yes.
And you can't get it from talking on the radio, can you?
No, and I think it's great because we need to keep entertainment out there because they need to be informed, one thing, but they also need to have some entertainment, some diversion, something from just sitting around the house.
Well,
you get
killed,
tired of TV after a while.
They killed the sports. I mean, they killed graduation for people. They wiped out the March Madness, you know? Come on.
Unfortunately, that's the status of going through things like this. I think we will have learned a lot after this thing's
over.
I
see the end of it, frankly, myself.
Yeah.
It's a matter of, okay, how can we calm it down and get done? And right now, we're all in quarantine. We are allowed to come in here because we're media, quote, media.
That's right.
And you also are allowed to take a break and go get some food.
Ooh.
And why don't we talk about that a bit?
I think I know where we need to go.
We are going to be able to go to get some food at Pepe's today.
That's right.
Or Amigos, both of them. Pepe's is open till 3, and
just
Amigos
three.
Is open till 2. And if you call them now, you got those numbers handy? I put them on some page somewhere.
I have Pepe's. Their number is 915-877-2152. And Amigos are 533-0155.
Repeat that for Pepe's again.
It's 877-2152, and Amigos is 533-0155. And you can go online and look at their menus, too. So I'm not sure if Pepe's is doing a limited menu, but they'll tell you on the phone for sure.
Pepe's does have a full menu. I couldn't find full Amigos. But call them up and ask them. And if you just get the Mexican plate at Amigos, they have a big one and a little one. Get the big one so you can have some take home.
Oh, yeah.
I freeze
some of it.
Well,
yeah.
I ate at both restaurants by takeout this week.
Yeah.
And I'm in good shape, and I quizzed them both. What's going on in your kitchen? Has your cook been to China lately? And they all said no, the cook hadn't been to China. And they're very careful with what they're doing in both places, like we need to be. Like, I mean, you talk about being careful.
Yeah.
I go to the gas station with a plastic bag out of a baggy thing, and I run the machine with that and then throw it away.
Yeah. Well, I carry rubber gloves.
And you're sitting here with your blue gloves match your headphones.
Let me get a snap.
But it matches your headphones today.
Yes,
that's so nice. All right, shall we move on here and do something else? Michelle and John, hang on there. We're going to come back to y'all in a little bit. And we've got another caller coming on the air there with Bernie and a question, I do believe. So if you want to call up and ask us a question, it's our regular call-in number. We'll take your call off the air, and Melissa will read it to us. And call what number, Melissa?
They can call us at 544-KTSM, because that's easy.
544-5876.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Visit Mission Del Rey Southwest for a huge selection of El Paso souvenirs and gifts. Mission Del Rey features El Paso saddle blanket products and thousands of Southwest, Western, Native American, and Mexico items for gifts and decor. Bring your friends and mention you heard us on the radio for a store-wide discount. Mission Del Rey Southwest, 1421 Lee Trevino, enter on Pelicano. Go to missiondelrey.com or call 915-440-2140 for Mission Del Rey Southwest.
Here's Carlos Macias, another satisfied customer from Window World El Paso Las Cruces.
Question, we know that you were a recent customer of Window World here in El Paso, and I was wondering, how did you choose Window World?
Well, my wife and I did research through several companies or whatever, and we were just very impressed with the customer service and punctuality and everything else that Window World had to offer.
Let me ask you, how were you treated from the very beginning? Did you visit them in the store or call them on the phone?
Well, from the very beginning, we had an excellent experience with a young lady they have there working out of the office by the name of Diane. And she just automatically made us feel like we were part of the Window World family. The customer service, professionalism, and knowledge of her job were absolutely outstanding.
Exceptional quality and value and made in the USA. WindowWorldElPaso.com. In Las Cruces, too.
This is Andrew J. Polk with News Radio 690 KTSM. El Paso now has 30 positive tests of the COVID-19 coronavirus. According to Dr. Hector Ocaranza with the health department, local spread is something we can expect to see very soon. Fort Bliss has 7 cases. There are 16 so far in Doña Ana County and 4 currently in Ciudad Juarez. The largest economic rescue package in U.S. history has been signed into law. Tune in tomorrow at 9 a.m. to Talk El Paso on News Radio 690 KTSM for a breakdown of what it means for the borderland. From the News Radio 690 KTSM News Desk, I'm Andrew J. Polk.
El Paso's News Radio 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We have survived and arrived back after the break. I have a couple of things to tell you. We're talking about Freemasonry today, how it's influenced El Paso, and where it came from. We'll get to that in just a moment. We want you to hit the like button on Facebook page, El Paso History Radio Show, and also please subscribe to our YouTube channel. This YouTube channel is getting more important all the time. We've got the first 16 segments of our ABC TV series, El Paso History TV, on there. And that's at youtube.com, /El Paso History TV. And it's Mr. Bernie Sargent who's doing the call screening today. He is front and center with his cowboy hat. And that's the first 16. We just shipped in 4 more to ABC 7 for use in April. I hope they can squeeze them in somewhere in their wall-to-wall coverage of the single issue, because we need a diversion, ABC7. Yes. So they have 4 brand new ones, Melissa, and they are on the missions of El Paso and the Presidio Chapel.
Yes.
We got Sleta, Socorro, San Eli, but we also have incredible footage out of Juarez for the mission there. Guess which one was first? I'll give you a trivia question. Which one was built first?
It was San Eli, wasn't it?
No.
It was Juarez.
Yeah. And that's the only...
I was between the two.
You're good. But guess which one was... We'll do our own trivia here. Guess which one is the only one that never got washed away?
Socorro.
Nope. Socorro went 3 times.
The one in Juarez?
Juarez. The only one...
I know they got flooded a couple of times.
But they built it on a little hill.
Can't really tell, but
because we have an aerial shot of downtown Juarez.
Yeah.
You won't believe this tiny little church sitting there was once all by itself.
Well, that's true. It is kind of a mesa. Yeah.
So anyway, that's on YouTube. And here's the other major important thing to know. We uploaded almost a dozen of our regular old DVD documentaries, and they are now free online at youtube.com/El Paso History TV. Everybody's doing what they can for the cause and the crisis. I decided I could give those away and ask people to homeschool themselves as well
and their kids,
as well as their children and grandchildren. I see people making up stuff. Let's go put chalk on the block. Well, that was fun for a day. But now what I would recommend you seriously take a look at is El Paso History TV on YouTube, and that's where we got that. So enough of that. What do you got, an announcement there about Keystone?
Well, Keystone Heritage Park. We decided to keep the park open because of the fact it's an outdoor area. You have 17 acres of the Chihuahuan Desert Experience you can walk, or the 2 acres of the Botanical Garden. It's beautiful right now. The bathrooms and the drinking fountain are closed because we want to be safe. But, you know, just keep your safe distance. But it's open from 9 a.m. to sunset. And we do ask, please, that we have a donation box when you walk right in where you can make a donation of $2 for adults and $1 for children.
It's not an open basket. You can just put
money in. No, it's like one of those rangers they have up on the mountain.
We trust
there.
You, but not that much.
Not that much, no. No, we trust you. We just don't trust people. That
behind you, yeah.
Yes. But we're open all day for this 7 days, 5 days. Six days a week.
Which one's not open?
Monday,
okay.
So, yeah, but get out there. It's a great place. It's here in the Upper Valley on the west side for those folks that don't want to go over the mountain or have already seen the poppies by the Archaeology Museum.
Poppies are great, but they peaked about a week ago.
Right, yeah, but you can still walk around because there's a lot of blooming going on with the cactuses right now.
And I saw a very pretty picture of a little kid out in the middle of poppy field, and he was holding a poppy in his hand. I wanted to smack him. You don't pick them, dudes.
Yeah, that's
anyway,
all right.
Well, shall we get back into masonry?
One other thing. Tom Mays Park is open. The facilities to use up there are not, but the park is open.
You put money in the ranger there?
I don't know about that one.
But Tom, yeah, Bernie says you do.
Oh, he's shaking his head.
Okay, Sergey, are we ready to go back on the telephones here? Because I got them punched up like they're on the air. Do you have to do something important? All right, we'll talk. Michelle, are you there?
Yes.
Oh, you
Hi,
are
Michelle.
There. Hi, Michelle. John, are you there?
Hi.
All right. Mrs. Wranglewood.
Mrs. Wranglewood. And it was interesting. You married a guy named Wrangle, and your name was already Wood, so there you are, huh?
Yep, we just combined them.
All right. We're
gonna, I like that.
I'm going to ask, in a second or two, I'm going to ask John about some of the charities of Freemasonry. But if you don't mind, Michelle, explain more about Joseph McGoffin and his early Masonry, because he was here in the Homestead about 1875 that the home began?
1868, he actually returned to El Paso.
But he didn't live in that home. He didn't live in McGoffin home yet.
No, because the land had been confiscated during the Civil War, and it took a Supreme Court case, Simeon Hart versus the United States of America, to get the land back for all the landowners who had lost their land during the Civil War. So it wasn't until 1869 that he actually gets the land returned. And so he builds the home in 1875, sometime later. But in the meantime, in 1870, actually it was January 1st, 1870, Joseph petitions to join El Paso Lodge 130.
130 was the first lodge in El Paso?
It's actually the oldest lodge west of the Pecos.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And so at any rate, his petition was handwritten, which was really interesting because even all the way back in 1870, they had pre-printed petitions.
You held your phone just right. You held your phone just right there for a second. Do it again.
Okay.
That's better. Yeah, it makes a difference. Go ahead.
Okay. So his petition was handwritten, even though there were pre-printed petitions. And apparently he was at this New Year's party on January 1st, and he asked. And so Ben Dow, A.J. Fountain, and I believe Solomon Schutz all signed on his petition.
Well, now this Lodge 130 was the one that started in San Elizario, what was it, 1854?
1854, correct.
Okay.
The charter did say San Elizario. It seems there was some confusion.
Bernie, too.
And eventually it gets changed. But, yeah, and so at any rate,
You there?
Hello?
Yeah, we're on. You're on.
So he gets elected as secretary of 130 in 1875. And then during that time, they changed some rules, and apparently it didn't sit well with members. They were having a problem with members attending meetings. And so they came up with a fine, and there were no excuses allowed. You couldn't have a doctor's note. There was nothing accepted.
The meetings had to take place in San Elizario, right?
No. There's some belief that actually it took place in different places. They didn't own a building up all the way until 1878.
Okay.
So they actually were meeting in rented spaces. At one point, they actually were meeting in Solomon Schutz's bedroom.
Okay.
Okay. And so at any rate, the fines were kind of exorbitant, and the next year they end up changing that. And at the same time, really, this is all happening as he's secretary.
Well, maybe some of the details we really need to focus on are the influences of people. Like, he because he was a Mason, he was attracting people to El Paso. Talk about a couple of guys that showed up. Moorhead.
I don't know if this is so much the idea of him being a Freemason or just kind of the idea that he's trying to get the population of El Paso up. He knows in order to survive, we need businesses. We need people who are going to come in and bring things that will create jobs. So, yes, he does. He actually goes to Leavenworth, Kansas at one point, and that's when he brings back C.R. Moorhead.
And who else did he attract? Moorhead and who else?
Newman, O.T. Bassett.
Bassett.
Mm-hmm.
Those are big early Masons.
Oh, names, yeah. Everywhere.
Yeah,
streets.
Yeah.
You know those names via streets.
You guys have an extra water in there by any chance?
Oh, here,
it's an extra one?
Got it.
You sure that's not tequila?
Yeah.
Ah,
no, vodka.
All right, back to you, Michelle. We're listening.
Yeah. So at any rate, he ends up becoming treasurer. He never serves as a worshipful master, kind of interesting. But the two things that he does is really, really cool is, like I said, they didn't have an actual building to meet in. They were renting space from other people, or they were getting space donated by their members. So Joseph joins Sherman C. Slade, Ben Dowell, Joseph Schutz, and Ward B. Blanchard as part of the committee for a new building. And the first building they get built, it's a one-story adobe building that cost $675. And that building was on San Antonio in what is now Mesa, which, of course, at that time was Utah Street.
Yeah,
of course.
Right down the block from all the homes of prostitution.
Well, that's another matter to deal with.
Close by. What can I say?
But the point I'm going to get at here, Michelle, is that he was influencing the city. He attracted his fellow brother
very
Masons to come to El Paso to make investments prior to the railroads. And he said, okay, you want to get in on the El Paso before the railroads hit the fan? They showed up.
Yeah.
And so you got Bassett who came in into the lumber yard. And what did Moorhead do?
I cannot remember offhand.
Do you remember
Bassett's lumber?
He ended up being a banker ultimately.
He becomes president of the State National Bank.
Exactly.
Vice president.
So those are some things I wanted people to understand, that when the early Masons came to El Paso, they were the first major business people. They connected with each other basically because of Masonry, and not because it was a business thing. It was because of Masonry. That's the point, right?
Yeah, I think Masonry definitely was the catalyst. And I'm sure the other guys will speak more on this, but Freemasonry really is about building communities, and especially at this time. You know, and I'm sure Dad can actually probably speak more to this.
I want to ask your Dad, John, about some specific things about the charities of Masonry. Because a lot of people think Masons, we said it's a fraternity. Way back in the day, it was a drinking club. It actually was, and they got rid of that in the Morgan Affair. But we're going to ask the historians in a few minutes about that incident. So Masonry became non-alcoholic very quickly in the 1820s. But aside from that, the fact that Masonry has a charity background. John, if you would, go over some of the charities of Freemasonry.
Well, the charities of Freemasonry, they end up spending about $2.5 million a day to take care of children and widows and things like that. But our big charities are, we have 22 shrine hospitals, and we now have two Scottish Rite hospitals. We opened up one about 6 months ago, so we got a Scottish Rite hospital in Dallas, and then we have a Scottish Rite hospital now in Frisco. We have 22 shrine hospitals, which have been around. They started building them in 1920 and finished the first one in 21 in Shreveport, Louisiana. Then the first burn hospital was built in the Galveston, Texas. So we now have four burn hospitals and 18 orthopedic hospitals where we take care of kids with missing limbs and cleft palates and spina bifida and brittle bone disease.
Let me ask you something, John. What does it cost to be a patient in one of those places?
Not a penny.
That's the point. That's the point, right?
Yes, that is.
And so Masonic charities are rather extensive. There's some local dentistry programs I'm aware of. But you're talking about national events where major, those are huge hospitals.
They are huge hospitals, and we take care of the Shrine hospitals, take care of the children in all 50 states, plus last year they had, I believe it was 19 foreign countries, children from 19 foreign countries that were brought in for whatever volcano burns. They brought them in for other types of issues. They come from all over the world, from the African continent, from European continent, South American continent. So it's we take care of a lot of children. We also train other doctors. That's one of the reasons we have the children's hospitals here in El Paso. A number of those doctors have trained at either the Scottish Rite Hospitals for Children or the Shrine Hospitals for Children. So
I wanted to make sure we covered that because people think it's just a fraternity. No, it's not. It's a major charity organization. One last thought, and we're going to let you guys go and get the historians to call us during the next break here. And we, Melissa, you have a question that came in.
Well, Cindy called in, and she was saying that Victoriana Huerta was a Mason, but they believe you got kicked out. And are there any others that, you know, especially from across the border? I know there was some mutual.
Well, the historians are coming up next.
We're
going to get them on that.
Okay, Benito, well, Cindy, hold on.
Well, Benito Juarez was one for sure.
Yeah,
we
Benito
know that.
Juarez, yeah.
But last thought from you, Michelle, on the connectivity of Joseph McGoffin in El Paso. How many things did he help start? The utilities, you had gas, water, what? Electric?
Board of Education, Board of Health. I don't think up until the early 1900s, he had basically his hand in designing the community.
That's the point we're going to get to with the historians next, and that's the fact that the Masons came to where they did and created the infrastructure for the town. Last thought, Melissa Sargent.
Last question to you, Michelle, is are you an Eastern Star or are you a Mason? Because I didn't know whether they still allowed men, women yet.
No. In Texas, women are not Freemasons. There is the Order of Eastern Star. I am not a member. I am a member of the Ladies Oriental Shrine of North America.
And just as a comparison, I want you to realize I tried to join the women's club here in El Paso. They wouldn't let me in either.
They might do it now.
I know the feeling. So, well, Michelle and John, thank you guys for talking with us. We're going to let you go take a break here and get some historians on the phone and continue this discussion until noon. Thank you all very much, both of you.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you,
Jack. Good job.
Y'all take it easy. We do appreciate it. All right. Taking a break here, Sergio Valenzuela. And we do thank you for being in there along with Mr. Bernie Sargent on the call screening. Shall we take a break? What's the number to give us a comment by phone?
It is 915-544-KTSM or 915-544-5876.
Amigos at 2000 Montana Avenue, one block east of Cotton. Amigos Restaurant is the green building with the free parking. Amigos serves breakfast and lunch 7 days a week and dinner Tuesday through Sunday. Amigos on Montana has traditional El Paso Mexican food, plus salads, chicken, and chocolate flan. Amigos has private dining rooms for parties and meetings. Get ready, get hungry. We're cooking at Amigos, 2000 Montana Avenue, 533-0155. Amigos!
Warning! If you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For a free estimate on how much money we could save you, call 1-800-900-0507. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible, without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For your free 5-minute savings estimate, call now, 1-800-900-0507. That's 1-800-900-0507. 1-800-900-0507.
Newsflash. Good oral care habits keep you healthy. That means brushing your teeth for 2 minutes, twice a day, and flossing regularly no matter what brand you use. Quip makes things that make good habits simple, starting with an electric toothbrush, refillable floss, and anti-cavity toothpaste. Quip's electric brush has sensitive sonic vibrations with a built-in timer and 30-second pulses to guide a full and even clean. Their well-designed floss dispenser might make you actually want to floss, with pre-marked string to help you use just enough. Plus, Quip delivers a fresh brush head, floss, and toothpaste refills to your door every 3 months, with free shipping, so your routine is always right. Join over 3 million healthy mouths and get Quip today, starting at $25. And if you go to getquip.com/mynews right now, you'll get your first refill absolutely free. That's your first refill free at getquip.com/mynews. Quip, the good habits company.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso Souvenirs and Gift Shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
A reminder, we're doing a live radio show. Today is March 28, 2020. This actually, Melissa, begins my 20th year.
Oh, my God.
2-0. I've done 19 full years of sitting here every Saturday morning talking El Paso history. How about that?
Well,
for
congratulations.
A big deal, huh? Thanks a lot.
You need a little noisemaker.
That was
that
it. Sergio normally has a fanfare in there, but how do we just do this?
Let's just get through what we're doing.
Next 20 years. The Archaeology Museum is closed, and the El Paso History Museum is closed, but you can look up stuff by going to digi.com, and the El Paso History Museum has that got going on there. And do you have an announcement about anything particular? Just you got another Pepe's number. Throw Pepe's number out there if you can find it.
Well, first of all, we are not having a Pepe special.
No.
Right, we are not going to do that.
No.
So you just have to pay on regular price just because we need to support them and the restaurants and the workers and everything else. So Pepe's number, remember again, for takeout is 877-2152 or Amigos, which is also taking takeout. They've got their number out there for 533-0155. Support our local businesses. They've been great sponsors, and we want to keep them sponsored.
And what is the website for Mission Del Rey Southwest? MissionDelRey.com. Yeah, you dumped
I didn't have that one.
Well, it's on your paper somewhere.
I had another paper.
But
got it now.
MissionDelRey.com. and they started out as an order business. On the internet.
Yeah, that's the majority of their business.
They're back to that now. So when they get back open, we'll support them.
Send somebody a little gift or something and make them feel better while we're all shut in.
Exactly. All right, let's talk to these historians here. We got people on the phone here. Let's see which one I've got first here on line two here. Ismail, would that be you?
Yes, sir.
Good morning and welcome here.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
We're doing pretty good. It's a little nutty here. I'm going to add in your comrade in crime down the road here. Russell, you got us there?
Yes, sir.
We got two of you guys. So we have Russell Booth and Ismail Gutierrez. And you guys were named by so many people as two historians in local Freemasonry that we should put on the radio. So we have breaks coming up, but we're going to ask you guys to stick with us till noon. And as I punch the phone buttons and somehow manage to lose you,
we don't mean to. You
know the numbers to call back. But let's start with some more name dropping, because I think both of you guys know more people in El Paso who were Masons in the early days and up until now. Ismail, what do you have on that?
We could start off with, late 1800s up to the early 1900s. It all depends. The first five mayors of El Paso were Masons. And then, the list goes on to, the most prominent that I could think of was probably Robert Ewing Thomason and
R.E. Thomason.
And so forth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What an interesting guy. And also, you said the first five mayors. Can you name them?
Not by memory.
But we can name two of them. Joseph McGoffin.
Yeah, exactly. Joseph McGoffin was, as I think Max was talking about it, and then Benjamin Shackett Dowell.
And Tom Lee Sr.
That's right.
Tom Lee Sr., and he was definitely a Freemason. And the whole point we're making here is that Masonry is one of those glues, shall we say, connections, that's a better word, that connected people in the old days, because there was a lot of crazy things in El Paso from the 1860s and 70s. And 1881, the train brought the rest of the nuts to El Paso, and you couldn't trust a lot of people. And so I think it was the same thing that happened in a lot of places. You could trust the people if you could go meet them in Lodge. Isn't that basically what happened?
Yes, that was the general notion, that people in Lodge, you know, were trustable. Now, we did go through some volatile times in our history. I could remember the Civil War. We actually stopped meeting, Joseph Frazier Crosby, I believe his name was. Josiah Frazier Crosby owned the Grand Central Hotel. He was a member of my lodge, and we met there. And after the Civil War happened, then another member from my lodge, Albert Jennings Fountain, who you are well aware of, you know, brought the Texas Rangers, the legendary Texas Rangers, back, you know, into existence, because they were disbanded before the Civil War. So, pretty interesting stuff.
Russell, what do you think about the early days of El Paso Freemasonry? You got some contributions, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think that it's important to note that when it comes to building of a city, you know, you have to have certain infrastructures in place. And so, like Michelle was saying with McGoffin, that they started identifying different people, you know, and Ismael can talk to about 130, and 130 has a huge history when it comes to El Paso. But it goes all the way up until now, you know, as far as the people that have contributed, you know, people like Carl Wyler, you know, Dick Poe, that these were all kind of early members that kind of provided important infrastructure to the city to make it possible for us to thrive and grow, and Masonry, you know, contributed a lot to that, because a lot of those people entered into business contracts with each other and kind of strive to make their community better, and that Masonry was kind of an engine for that.
And don't forget Jimmy Bowen, Pat Goff, people like that, as I understand, were Freemasons as well. Melissa, you had a question.
I have a quick question. The Scottish Rite Temple 130 has a library within there. Now, I know you're always looking for items for that, but yeah. What would be the kind of items you'd have in that library?
So that's another. It's an auxiliary body. The El Paso Scottish Rite has no connection to my Masonic Lodge, El Paso Lodge Number 130.
Yeah.
That's just another fraternity for the Masons. And again, there's a Russell's Lodge that meets there, Fraternity Lodge 1111, which my cousin's a proud member of, and so that building has lasted since it was built. But my Masonic temple was built by Trost and Trost. You had Gustavus Trost and his twin brother and his nephew George were members.
Yeah.
And that was demolished. That was demolished. And so we had the largest membership of Masons in the state of Texas. And so in today's, business world, you would have people that were really, really successful. And so that was demolished. And so, again, I think that we have gone through, you know, tough times like any other organization. I mean, we talk about the Rotary Club and the Kiwanis, and, you know, some of those clubs that I have friends with, you know, are struggling too.
Well, we're going to take a break here, gentlemen. Hold on. We have Ismael Gutierrez and Russell Booth. Going to ask you guys to go on hold for a second. When we come back, if someone would like to become a member, when we come back, let us know how that could be. We'll take in questions off the air. Bernie Sargent's in there, 544-5876
or 544 KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Visit Mission Del Rey Southwest for a huge selection of El Paso souvenirs and gifts. Mission Del Rey features El Paso saddle blanket products and thousands of Southwest, Western, Native American, and Mexico items for gifts and decor. Bring your friends and mention you heard us on the radio for a store-wide discount. Mission Del Rey Southwest, 1421 Lee Trevino. Enter on Pelicano. Go to missiondelrey.com or call 915-440-2140 for Mission Del Rey Southwest.
If you've wanted to get your business on the radio and you don't have the time or need help from a professional, you really need to check out iHeartAdBuilder.com. Not only is it extremely affordable, online, customizable, and heard by 9 out of 10 Americans every month, it's just so easy. You can even do it all from your phone, wherever you are. Click, listen, approve, and get your ad on air. Check it out and get started today at iHeartAdBuilder.com. That's iHeartAdBuilder.com.
If you haven't quoted Allstate lately, it's the perfect time. Now Allstate has new lower auto rates. You can get the same high-quality coverage and hands-on expertise now at new lower rates. Call a local Allstate agent and get a quote now.
Coronavirus, what you need to know.
So many people all across the U.S. are stepping up to help their neighbors and people in their communities. They're organizing volunteers and donating food and supplies through social media groups. Katie Maple with Perfect Union Dispensaries in Sacramento is a good example.
I personally started a GoFundMe page, which raised a little over $3,000 with a matching donation from Perfect Union to install hand washing stations throughout the city and for homeless folks.
Writer, speaker, and disabled advocate Charisse Hill has been blogging for awareness and change.
My first piece of advocacy was a blog post on my own blog about language. My call to action was for media, politicians, public officials to include discussions about immunocompromised people as valid people.
The Crisis Text Line, Translators Without Borders, Be My Eyes, and Bookshare.org are some good organizations looking for help right now. Go to the iHeartRadio app and tap the podcast tab for all the latest news and information about coronavirus.
News Radio 690, KTSM El Paso.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso Souvenirs and Gift Shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, we're back for just a couple of minutes, take a news break here, but I want to talk to both Russell Booth and Ismael Gutierrez very briefly here. You guys still with us?
Yes, sir.
There you are. How do you become a Mason in El Paso? What do you got to do?
Brother Russell, you want to answer that? So there's a common phrase that we use. To be one, you need to ask one. And that's essentially what it is. And it's kind of different from like a collegiate fraternity where basically there's open recruitment. We'll never right. openly recruit And I think that if you want to become a Mason, it's important that you seek out, someone that you know. If you don't know someone you know, you can go to a local lodge and talk with them. It takes a while, because there needs to be vetting on both sides. You want to know that you want to join that lodge, and that lodge wants to know to accept you. In the old days, it used to be you had to ask someone three times. So if you asked someone, hey, I want to be a Mason, they would ignore you. And then you ask them a second time, and they'd ignore you again. And it wasn't until the third time that they would hand you a petition.
They wanted to make sure you were doing this, yeah.
And I've even heard of lodges that had a standing rule that they would blackball anyone who on their first try, and if they reapplied, then they would be accepted at that point. That was a long time ago.
In 30 seconds, explain blackball.
It's basically just the method of election for the degrees. You get blackballed, and it's a common phrase. He was blackballed.
Of course, but basically, the point is, you take a white marble and put it in the box. That's a vote yes. If one blackball ended up in the box, the guy was out.
Right. And technically they're cubes, but neither here nor there.
Well, see, I haven't gone through it, so I didn't know exact detail.
Black ball also comes from another term, too, so it might be just a combination.
Well, there's so many Mason's slogans that come down. Are you on the level with me? Can we score this away? There's so many things. And what it is they basically...
They gave me the third degree.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
and
there it is.
Have you been hoodwinked? That's part of the first degree in Masonry.
There's a lot of sayings and mannerisms that a lot of people use these days that don't know that originated with the Masons. Did you guys? I wasn't listening earlier with Right Worshipful John and Michelle. Did you guys talk about the national significance about the Masons, Jackson?
No, we're going to take up national and everything about ancient times, King Solomon's Temple, all the way Knights Templar, into British military lodges. And how that became the colonists and George Washington's people.
And the Feast of Tishri.
We'll get to all of it.
Yeah.
Tishri, yeah.
Tishri, thank you.
Sergio, we should be out by now, shouldn't we? Let me know when I hear the music. When I hear the music, I'm going to quit talking here. But in the meantime, it's an interesting discussion. We'll continue it after the news. And we're going to come back after the news and talk more with these gentlemen. You gentlemen, hold on there. And if we cut you off, call us back. Fair enough? Thanks a lot. Sergio, where are we here, guy? We're about 30 seconds away. Shall I keep talking? Am I in a closet by myself? No,
yes,
I'm not.
You are.
No, I'm not.
You're in a bubble.
There are occasions when this equipment...
A boy in a bubble.
This equipment doesn't make sense to me. But no, the thing is, Freemasonry is such an interesting institution, and I wanted to bring out the idea that people don't understand how El Paso was formed, who were the people that did it.
How many people... I mean, it's amazing how many people were involved with the Masons across the world, but even here in El Paso.
And it isn't just a white guy's thing. There's a lot of Mexican-Americans in there. See you after the news.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. EPHistory.com for archived copies of this radio show. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. We'll be right back after the news, right here on News Radio 690, KTSM, El Paso.
NBC News Radio, I'm Cameron Fairchild. Half the country is now on lockdown because of the coronavirus pandemic. About 104,000 cases of coronavirus have been reported in the United States, about 1,700 deaths. The head of the International Monetary Fund says the world is now in a recession because of the coronavirus pandemic. The IMF chief says the global economy is now at a standstill. As New York City deals with a rapidly growing coronavirus death toll, a new field hospital is set to open. Governor Andrew Cuomo says construction is complete with the help of FEMA and the National Guard. Ohio Governor Mike DeWine implements a host of special measures during the coronavirus pandemic.
On Friday, Ohio Governor Mike DeWine signed the emergency legislation passed by lawmakers this week.
First of all, it waives the state testing requirements for our school children for this year. Again, we got a lot of questions about this.